If you have your Bible, turn with me once again to the Gospel of Mark. Mark, and we've worked our way up to the 10th chapter and verse 32 through 34. My outline is provided for you there online if you just scroll down, and you can see that we're going to be looking at Christ's passion prophecy, and this is the third installment of that. Because Jesus now, for the third time in the Gospel of Mark, foretells his own death and resurrection. Last Sunday, we saw his second prophecy in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. And today, we see his third and final prophecy before he was led to the cross of Calvary and before he defeated sin, death, and the grave. He foresaw all of that, and again, I make the point to you that nothing takes God by surprise, not even this pandemic that we're going through. And his own death and resurrection was known fully by him as he shares it with us in this third prophecy. I want to read to you from Mark chapter 10 and verse 32, where it says, "Now they," that's the disciples with Jesus, "were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again." Again is one of Jesus' favorite words, or Mark's favorite words in his gospel. We see it over and over again. And it says, "Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him." And when he uses that word again, as I'd mentioned already, this is now the third time that Jesus prophesies about his own passion. First of all, in chapter 8, verse 31, then chapter 9, verse 31, and today for the third and final time, in chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. So we're going to see Christ's passion prophecy about three things. He knew about, first of all, the hypocrisy that was going to be enacted toward him. And we read about it there in verse 33. "Behold," he says to the disciples, "we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles." The hypocrites that Jesus mentions here are the chief priests and the scribes. And over again in the Gospel of Mark, we see their hypocrisy. For instance, when we go back to Mark chapter 7, we read about how Jesus' disciples were eating bread, and these same scribes, joined by the Pharisees, said that they were defiling themselves because they had not washed their hands properly according to the Jewish tradition. And even further than that, they said that they had not cleaned the surfaces around them the way that they ought to be cleaned according to the Jewish tradition. And they even went as far as to mention that there were traditions for cleaning cups, for cleaning pictures, for cleaning vessels, and for even cleaning couches. Now, we have been enacting some of the strict guidelines from our government about washing hands and also sanitizing surfaces, but I hadn't seen anything yet about sanitizing a couch. These were couches that the Jews reclined upon while they were eating, and they had laws about how to even clean that couch. Have you thought about cleaning your Lazy Boy lately as you recline in it? Well, maybe some of you have. But these Jews were, I think, even stricter than our government guidelines about sanitizing your hands and your surfaces. but it was all in hypocrisy. Jesus goes on there in Mark chapter 7 when he answered to them saying, well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus also focused on these scribes and chief priests' hypocrisy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, when he said, and I quote, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. The Jews were all about outside appearance, but inside they were rotten to the core. And you can wash your hands a million times. You can sanitize surfaces around you a million times. You can even disinfect your Lazy Boy, but no amount of cleansing will wash away the sin that is inside of you. And I pray that today you will no longer live in the hypocrisy of outward appearance and strict guidelines, but that you will continue to follow our government's guidelines, but more importantly, cleanse your own hearts. Jesus again speaks to the hypocrisy of the scribes in this same Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. It says, then he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense. What an interesting word. Another word of hypocrisy, hiding the truth about you. For a pretense, make long prayers. Oh, these guys, they looked good on the outside, but on the inside, they were a million miles away from God. Again, pointing to the chief priests and the scribes mentioned here in our text and their hypocrisy still in the Gospel of Mark. And the 14th chapter, verse 43, it says, and immediately while he, that's Jesus, was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes, these same hypocrites that he prophesies about in Mark 10, verse 33. And Judas gave these scribes and the guards a sign. He says, whomever I kiss, he is the one. And Mark records how Judas approached Jesus and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher, master. And then he kissed him. He betrayed him with the kiss. It is interesting that these scribes and Pharisees are also described in Mark 14:1, that they sought a way that they might take him by trickery, another word of hypocrisy, and put him to death. They wouldn't do in public what they had to do in the dark. They wouldn't take him in the open. They had to wait until he was in the Garden of Gethsemane at nightfall. True to any hypocrite. Do you know what the difference between a flatterer and a hypocrite is? Of course, Judas flattered Jesus by saying, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher. A flatterer will say something to your face that they would never say behind your back. And a hypocrite is a twin to a flatterer, because a hypocrite will say something behind your back that they would never say to your face. That's what these scribes and chief priests were. And I think each one of us needs to do a little bit of a spiritual inventory to see how much of a flatterer we are and how much of a hypocrite we are, and start aligning with the truth of God. Start being factual about our relationship with Him and no longer hide behind our hypocrisy like the scribes and the chief priests did. But Jesus not only prophesied about hypocrisy, He also prophesied about hatred. It says there in Mark chapter 10 and verse 34, "And they will mock Him and scourge Him and spit on Him and kill Him." All acts of hatred. They hated Christ with everything that was in them. Jesus knew this was going to happen. In fact, it had already been prophesied hundreds of years before in the book of Isaiah, when it says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, "I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And then again it was prophesied in Isaiah 52, verse 14. "Just as many were astonished at you, so His visage was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men." We read how Jesus' prophecy and, in fact, Isaiah's prophecy were fulfilled in the same Gospel of Mark, in the 15th chapter, the 16th verse, when it says, "Then the soldiers led Him," that's Jesus, "away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed Him with purple and twisted a crown of thorns and put it on His head and began to salute Him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they struck Him on the head with a reed and spat on Him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped Him. And when they had mocked Him, they took the purple off Him and put His own clothes on Him and led Him out to crucify Him." They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they hated Him, they hate you and me as His followers, as believers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus forewarned us about that over in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 18, when He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Think with me about how Christians, even this day, are being blamed in the New York Times for starting the coronavirus. They do it because they hate us. History repeats itself. Nero blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome, and it led to the first persecution of Christians. History repeats itself. If they hated Him, if they hated our ancestors, they will hate us too. On February 22nd, Tyson Fury became the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. I watched the fight, and after the fight, the 6'9", 273-pound Irish gypsy gave an interview in the ring, surrounded by all his well-wishers, and this interview was given to a worldwide audience. My heart was stirred to its depths when I heard the new heavyweight champion say this: "First and foremost, I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All praise be to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ." As you can imagine, he has drawn much criticism for his profession of faith in Jesus Christ. He is hated, and you will be hated also. Jesus prophesies about hypocrisy. Jesus prophesies about hate. But thankfully, in this passion prophecy, he also prophesies about hope. We read there in the last part of verse 34 as Jesus is foretelling not only his death, but his resurrection. And there it says, in Christ's words, "And on the third day, he," speaking of himself, "will rise again." Oh, how our world needs hope. Jesus' resurrection victory over sin, death, and the grave gives us the hope that no one else and that nothing else can give. After Jesus' death and resurrection, in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, we see that the disciples were locked down. They were literally sheltering in place. The Bible tells us they were so fearful of the Jews and what might happen to them that they locked the doors to the upper room. And over in John chapter 20, verse 26, we read about something that happened 8 days after Jesus' resurrection to these disciples. Speaking of 8 days after the resurrection, in my welcome, I mentioned to you Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the author of Life Together and also The Cost of Discipleship. And what I didn't mention to you is that he was on the 8th day after Resurrection Sunday executed for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see something that also happened 8 days after Jesus' resurrection. In John 20, verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside." Oh, they were locked down. They were sheltering in place. "And Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut." They had locked the upper room down. "And stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" You might be one of those people that Jesus was prophesying about on this Resurrection Sunday. You have not seen Jesus with your own physical eyes, but you have heard his gospel today. You've heard that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And if you will believe in him and him alone, turn to him and him alone, you will be saved. This very moment, sitting behind that screen in your living room, in your office, or wherever you might be, around the kitchen table, you can believe in Jesus just like Thomas believed in him. Today, to my regret, I am preaching to an empty sanctuary, about an empty tomb, with the hope in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we all together will rise to greater things because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him and believe him today. Your life will never be the same. Let us pray. Oh, Father, how grateful we are that nothing ever takes you by surprise. Not your own death and resurrection, not even this pandemic that we're going through. And so, Father, today we pray that in this moment there will be people who will turn their hearts to you, that they will trust in you and you alone for their salvation. Father, I pray that you might also bless those who are believers today. Help them not to lose hope, but to find their hope in that empty tomb and the fact that you are sitting at the right hand of your Father, making intercession for us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday, right here in this online worship venue. We'll see you then.